This is Dana Monsees, the nutritionist and Whole30 certified coach behind Real Food with Dana, and you're listening to the Real Talk with Dana podcast. Welcome back, guys. So this week's episode, aka episode 16, is actually a part two episode from last week where Christina Hoyt Alvarez of Nourish, Mindful Body, Mindful Life, and I, of course, talk about the truth about metabolic damage and survival, also known as starvation mode. So make sure you go listen to episode 15 from last week before you listen to this one, and that will of course be linked in the show notes. So just as a little recap reminder here, metabolic damage is what happens when the body slows down, specifically your metabolism and hormones, to adapt to a high caloric or energy demand, which is usually from high amounts of exercise and chronic stress, and then combined with a low calorie or energy intake. So your body is learning to be efficient. This is also known as starvation mode and metabolic adaptation or adaptive thermogenesis. So what's happening in starvation or survival mode is when your body is hanging on to every ounce of body fat that you have because it feels like you're in a compromised state. And when that happens, it's not going to let you lose any weight because it doesn't know if you're getting all of the nutrients and vitamins that you need in order to keep surviving at a healthy level. And this in turn creates hormonal imbalances down the line. So people try to fix this because they realize they can't lose weight anymore by just trying to work out more and eat less, and then they aren't seeing any results, and then they just keep trying to do this and it creates further damage down the line. So this may be you if your life is on full throttle all the time, and you know exactly who you are when I'm saying this because I used to be one of those people. So you do lots of exercise all the time, you have a low energy intake whether it's on purpose or not, you have following lists of good versus bad foods or yes and no foods all the time, you push as hard as you can all the time. And you've been doing the same thing for years and you've not only stopped seeing results, maybe you've already started to see some negative side effects like hormonal imbalances, thyroid and adrenal issues, amenorrhea or losing your period, low libido, weight gain despite exercising and being on a low calorie or low fat or low carbohydrate diet for a while. Experiencing these symptoms of metabolic damage is a big signal that your body is asking for help. So now that you know what's going on, because we've talked about it in the last podcast again, you can use these tools that we're going to talk about in this episode to start healing from this metabolic damage and get your body out of survival or starvation mode by addressing the root cause of what's really going on. Because if you just put a Band-Aid on the situation, it's not going to work. Specifically, in this episode, we're going to cover the how-tos of exercise, food, mindset, and even spirit to help reverse metabolic damage and adaptation. And in particular, we're going to talk about how eating more and exercising less can actually be a big key to getting you out of this mess and seeing the results you want again. But important thing to keep in mind here, these things don't happen overnight. So the healing that's going to happen also isn't going to happen overnight. And we'll talk about this in more detail in the episode, but if you think you're experiencing these symptoms, Christina and I highly recommend that you don't try to conquer this healing process on your own, because it's way too hard to be objective about your own body, your own relationship with food in your body, and it's too hard not to doubt yourself on those really hard days during the healing process, because there are going to be hard days. So don't try and do this on your own. But for now, let's talk about how to get out of the cycle that got you here in the first place, also known as how to check yourself after you've wrecked yourself. Basically, you need to stop working against your body because it will win. You need to start working with your body to get to true health and happiness and lasting health and happiness. You'll start to see food as a healing opportunity and as a thriving opportunity rather than as a means to restrict and beat your body into a certain shape. Let's do this. You are not broken. Your body has adapted to a lot of stress, a lot of activity, and a really low food intake, but your body's doing exactly what it's supposed to do, right? It's adapted to exactly what you've been giving it. So it's becoming more efficient by burning less calories. Maybe the receptors for your hormones, like we've been talking about, have been down-regulated. And we talked a lot about this in the Adrenal Fatigue podcast to keep you functioning and alive. But the good thing is we're going to give you the tools, or at least the starting point, in order to get out of here. Because now that you're armed with the knowledge of what's going on, you can figure out what to do. Something to keep in mind is when someone who's in this situation has reached the end of their rope and they've kind of just, you know, thrown up their arms because they can't figure out what to do, a lot of times they'll come to someone like me or Christina, a nutritionist, personal trainer, health coach, whatever it is, because they're still mainly focused on the fact that they can't lose weight, even though they're still under eating and over exercising. And I'm sure Christina will say the same thing, but the hardest thing as a practitioner is to tell someone in that situation that they're going to have to gain weight in order to get healthier, which can be so scary for anyone that's in that situation, whether they have a history of disordered eating, body dysmorphia, or even if they're overweight and they've just been trying to lose weight. But this is the one thing that they're going to have the most trouble accepting because it's working against their goals, right? Like they just want to lose weight. They want to be leaner, whatever it is. They want to see their abs. But if something here that we've been talking about is super triggering for you, or if it's something that you don't want to hear it, this is probably the thing that you need to hear the most and work on the most in order to actually heal. And in this case, it probably means gradually exercising less, gradually eating more nutrient-dense foods so that you can reverse what's been going on here with this survival mode that you've put your body in so it can start working like it's supposed to be again to keep you healthy.
Preach. Loved it.
Knowledge bombs. Drop the mic and leave. Bomb. It's like that mic minion drop. GIF.
Mic drop. Or like that grandma that I sent you doing the maracas. That's how I feel about that. But oh, I do have something to add that I want to like circle back to that you said about how I think it's really important to note that you're right. This is exactly what your body needs to do. But what's also truly empowering about this, although it's frustrating to then go to your doctor and say, your doctor say, hey, I think there's some thyroid stuff going on, or you might have PCOS, or there's other stuff going on here, or you have intestinal permeability or candida or any of the things that might be happening, right? What's wonderful about that, and although it can suck in the moment, is that it is a signal from your body that it's literally asking for help. And now that you've had this and we've started to talk about what's been going on, you're now going to be armed with the tools to start to reverse some of these things that are happening in your life and start working through them and really be able to address the root cause of what has led to this kind of spiral and this cascade, as I keep talking about. But yeah, I thought that was really good.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's talk about how the hell do you get out of this? Right? So you've got to get out of the cycle that got you here in the first place.
Yeah. So I talk a lot about your why, and that's really important to me. Like, and I know you talk about that too. Like, what is your why? But it has to be something deeper and more meaningful than the number on the scale. And I feel like I run into this a lot. So often I talk to women how unhappy they are with their weight and the number on the scale. And this is the focus that leads to this type of pattern. So you have to make your why something deeper than that number. And you're more than that number. And your health is more than that number. And at the end of the day, that number is arbitrary and is in no way indicative of your internal health, which you know now because you have all these other health issues that are coming up. And the number is what it is. And that's not because you've gained 10 pounds. It's because we've been in this cycle for so long. And I'm not saying this to you, like the listener, as if like you've done this to yourself. I'm talking about from myself, from a personal experience, from what I've been through and how I got myself out of it, you know?
Yeah.
But it has to come from a deeper place because the more when that number is still in the back end, of your mind and that back corner of your mind, it's going to be so much more difficult to really address this the way that you want without naturally falling back into the same type of pattern that got you here to begin with.
Yeah.
it makes it harder.
I think it's so important. I mean, it has to start with a mindset shift, and you have to realize now that, like, right now you're fighting your body when you're doing this. And if you keep fighting, like, you're going to lose, because your body's number one goal is to keep you alive, right? So it's going to do literally whatever it has to do in order to keep you alive. And in this case, it's going to make you start gaining weight even if you keep exercising more and eating less. So then the solution here is to shift the mindset in order to start working with your body instead of working against it.
Yeah. It's so perfect. You have to work with it. It's so true. And that might mean for you, for some people out there, that you're no longer going to the gym. Maybe that means for you that you take a month off of going to CrossFit, or you going, or you're on your daily runs, or whatever it is that you're doing. And instead you're taking your neighbor's dog for a long walk, or, you know, you're doing meditative walks, or you're taking a yoga class instead. And I'm not talking about a power yoga class. I'm talking a restorative yoga class.
I'm so happy you said that.
A huge freaking difference between those. And that's a huge distinction too. I know that's a lot of people do that. They'll say, like, oh, I'm no longer going to the gym, but I'm going to start taking power yoga classes.
I'm going to start doing BBG workouts on my own.
Yeah. And it's like, that's not really what we're talking about here. It's really decreasing the amount of exercise that you're doing, like strong, strict exercise you're doing, and increasing your general movement during the day.
Your non-exercise activity factor, whatever they call that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what that is either, but I think to me that's more like taking my dog for extra long walks.
It's
or
just
making
movement.
Sure that I'm not sitting down all day on my computer, which is so easy to do.
Oh my God, I know.
You know? So
to give people an example of this, obviously the amount of time that you're going to need to cut back your exercise, or the severity that you're going to need to cut it back, is going to depend on where you are. So that's a very individual thing, and I can't give you a prescription for that, because every single one of you is different. And I don't know where you are in your journey. But so for me, when I was going through this and adrenal fatigue and all of the things, I took, I think it was more than 6 months completely off of going to the gym. Like, I think I went in there maybe one time in a 6 month span. And that was coming from someone who was obsessed with exercise. Like, I love it. I was a swimmer my whole life through college. I trained for half marathons. Like, I was doing CrossFit all the time, like power yoga, all this stuff. And then I finally realized, like, I was in this place where I couldn't recover anymore. I wasn't seeing any more results. And I had actually gotten to the point where I was really sick because of it. So
I remember.
Yeah, it was.
I remember you then.
It was horrible. And it just, like, I mean, mentally, it was really hard because, you know, coming from someone who, I mean, now I exercise for a totally different reason, because I love it, not because I'm trying to beat my body into a certain shape. But then it was both because I really enjoyed it and because I was trying to
beat
my body into a certain shape. So, like, I took away that enjoyment piece because I had to take away the beating down my body. So that was really hard mentally too. But then after that 6 months, you know, I was just walking. I did some restorative yoga at home, and that was literally it. That was all I could handle. Even after some of the, like, 20-minute yoga sessions, like, I would do one vinyasa flow for, like, 5 minutes and be on my back, like, could not do anything. After that, it's not like you can just jump right back into your regular exercise routine either, because that's what got you here in the first place. So what I did is I joined a yoga studio, like a light yoga studio, 6 months later, and I went there like twice a week, maybe three times a week, didn't do any CrossFit or any kind of intense exercise. Then the next month, after I was feeling better with just yoga, I started going to one CrossFit class a week, and I had to scale it way back. Wasn't doing any of the weights that I used to be able to do, wasn't doing it nearly as intense as I used to do, and you have to take it day by day, right? And then 6 months later, I was able to go to two CrossFit classes a week, right? And then down the line, like, even now, years later, I still only go to two or three CrossFit classes a week, when before I was training for a half marathon 3 days a week. I was going to CrossFit 3 days a week. I was probably also doing some yoga on the side and all this other stuff. Like, it was just way too much. So you have to keep
not
in
to
mind,
mention you were working like crazy at the same
right,
time
trying
and
to
all
build my
things.
Own business yeah. in grad school, like all of this stuff. And that's the threshold thing that we've been talking about, right? I mean, if I had a really cushy job, like didn't have any other stressors in my life, if I was working out intensely all the time, like I would probably be fine. Think about professional athletes. Like they have everything in their life is catered for them, right? Like somebody does their food, make sure they're eating enough, they sleep 10 hours a night, like they do stress management, they do recovery, and they train really hard, but only because they have all of that other stuff in check, right? We don't have that.
No, we have to check ourselves.
Right. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
I think that should be the name of the episode.
That would be a great metabolic damage. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
With Dana and Christina.
Oh my God.
I like this a lot. Well, one thing I was going to add to is that each, like what you said earlier, that each body really is different. And you have to kind of take the competitive nature out of yourself because most people who are doing this are really competitive with themselves. And when you start to go back into start working out again, ease up, girlfriends. Like, please, you got to go slow and don't try to compete with your prior self.
Yes.
You got to keep it ease back in. I mean, you talked about that the whole time, but I just want to reiterate that is that there's an ease that has to happen and kind of like a non-competitive nature that has to kind of come in. You can't be competing with your old self.
Yeah. And I mean, everything that we're going to be talking about here, exercise, food, mindset, like they all have a mindset component to them. So like for the exercise, you can't be comparing yourself where you are now to what you used to be able to do before. For the food stuff, like you can't compare what you're eating now to what you were eating before. And I used to do this all the time when I was recovering from all of this stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, I used to be so much lighter. I used to eat so much less food. And like, I used to exercise so much more. And then it was like, wait a minute, when I was doing all of those things, I was an extremely unhappy and unhealthy person. So yeah, I weighed less than I do right now, but would I trade the way I feel right now for the way that I felt then to be lighter? Hell no. Oh my God. Hell absolutely no.
Well, no, because your mental state is totally different now.
Right.
Right. And that's the huge difference is that the mental state is different. And that's what you have to kind of pay attention to. That should be your barometer, right, for how things are going is your mental state.
And just listening to your body and assessing how you're feeling on like a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis.
Totally. Yep. Absolutely. And then listening to it. And even if, like, let's say you had plans, like today was one of your days that you were going to go to the gym, but you were feeling completely depleted, that is not the day to power through. I hate those affirmations out there and those inspirational quotes that say power through. No, that's your body literally saying
you need a break.
I need to chill. So listen to it. Even if you've only gone one other day that week, maybe one is all you can handle and that's
maybe,
okay.
And one is probably enough, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so to go along with the stop exercising and beating the shit out of yourself, you also probably need to get more high quality sleep.
Yeah,
like,
always.
I don't think
well,
I
there's always
to
recovery.
Right.
I'm not going to go into it more, but you need to be resting. You need to be sleeping. You need to be giving your body the time that it needs to rebuild itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
okay.
There.
So then rebuilding, perfect transition to talking about food, right?
Yes.
So you need to eat more food, right? It's as simple as that. And it should be, you know, a gradual process. I mean, like we were saying before, if you're not eating a lot, and then you eat a ton, like, yes, you're going to gain weight. And if you do that, it's probably not going to be a healthy weight. So you want to do that gradually. Am I saying that you should be eating 1,200 calories a day and then keep counting so the next day you're eating 1,300 and then count again so the next day you're eating 1,400? Absolutely not. Do not do that, okay? But, you know, just consciously add a little bit of healthy fat to each meal. Add a little bit of carbohydrates. Like, do it gradually. But know that you need to be eating a lot more food than you are right now, especially if, you know, we're talking about resensitizing the body with caffeine or alcohol or whatever it is. You need to basically put more wood into the fire so that your metabolism starts working the way it's supposed to be working again.
Yeah. I think that's a good point where you said about, you know, easing back in and kind of adding a little bit at a time. Like, I'll give in a good example. So I had a client who came to me at first, and she was maybe eating about 900 to 1100 calories probably a day. I know, really, really low caloric intake. She was extremely in this state, pretty hardcore. And after looking at all of her stuff and talking to her, and based on her activity level, I had to sit down with her and say, you know, realistically, you're supposed to be eating like 1800 calories a day, minimum, probably, for based on what you're doing. But going from 900 calories to 1800 calories is a huge jump. That's basically doubling her food intake, which is really difficult for, was really difficult for her to do. So we had to ease our way back into it. And each time we met, I said, all right, add an avocado. Today, you're going to eat a whole avocado today. I don't care when you eat it, if you want to have it with your breakfast, or if you want to add it to your salad, or split it all up, but you're adding this in. And that's, you know, another 200, 300 calories, you know? And then from there, then you slowly start to increase. And I think that's really important. But I wanted to give an example of a client of mine who was really in this state, had a lot of body image issues and relationship with food and exercise that was really unhealthy for her. And she got out of it, and she's doing great now. And she eats a full real diet now. So it can happen. Just remember to go easy on yourself and to add a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
And making sure that you're getting, I call it the Trinity, a protein, fat, and fiber at every meal.
Right. And then, so speaking of fat, it's really, really important that in this situation that you make sure you are adding adequate healthy fats probably to every single meal, because the hormonal piece is the piece that's really messed up right now in addition to your metabolism. And the only way that you're going to get the building blocks of the hormones you need is from eating those adequate healthy fats. Now, I will say, disclaimer here, do not go ketogenic here. You know, that's a super big fad diet right now. And like, when used therapeutically, yes, it can be very helpful for people, but not in this situation, because that's just going to be an additional stress on your body. And since your body is already in this stress of starvation mode, it biologically wouldn't even let you switch over to burning ketones for fuel. And right now, you probably need more carbohydrates anyways to help make your body know that it's not in starvation mode anymore.
Also, although I'm not like opposed to the ketogenic diet.
No, but
you also have to think about also, isn't going on some of these extreme programs and these really limiting diets kind of the reason how you ended up in this place, you know, in this place in the first place?
Yeah, it's just another way to control your food at this point.
Yeah. And so we have to think about it from that perspective too. So I'm not into like putting you on a certain protocol or a certain type of quote unquote diet. It's really just about eating, avoiding processed foods, and getting enough protein, fat, and fiber in all of your meals, and making sure that you're getting enough fat. People tend to keep the fat out, and we want the fat. So
we want the fat.
We want the fat.
Baby got fat. That didn't really sound right, but you know what I mean.
I like it. Okay. Well, another one that I was going to think about too, that I was thinking about last night, in regards to kind of like the same kind of a line of extreme programs, is there's a lot of talk right now about intermittent fasting is really, really popular right now. And I have to say, I think there are therapeutic reasons for going on intermittent fasting. And I think it can be really beneficial in certain circumstances. Not in this one. Absolutely not in this one. It is a slippery slope towards an eating disorder. And if you're already in this pattern and you're not eating enough foods, skipping a meal isn't the way to do this, because in order, you still have to make sure you're getting enough calories. Even if you're doing intermittent fasting, it's just the time of day that you're really eating it. I know there's more science behind it, but yeah, you still have to make sure you're getting enough calories. And for me, I just feel like this is a really dangerous place for a woman in this state to be at. That is not the way to do this.
Oh, 100%.
So I just wanted to mention that fad out there as well, because I've had a lot of clients and people reach out to me asking my thoughts on intermittent fasting. So I know it's a hot topic.
Yeah, I have too.
A lot of people are talking about.
I'm actually, I'm going to interview Shawn Minor, who does the Keto for Women show. I'm going to interview her about intermittent fasting in a few weeks, because a lot of people have. Yeah, so that'll be good.
I can't wait to listen in. I'm sure she knows so much about it that I'd love to hear.
I can't wait to interview her about it. It's going to be great. But so, okay, we're talking about, you know, getting out of this diet mindset and of controlling your food and over-exercising and all of this kind of stuff. So let's talk about the mindset shifts that need to happen in order to get out of this place and in order to help you heal from all of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think you've already just said it. First of all, I think the main mind shift has to happen from that you're not trying to lose weight anymore, you're trying to heal. And I think that that is the kind of like the first place to kind of start in changing that outlook on there. But also, I think too, also learning how to manage your stress, and that could be through a meditative process, like practices and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be like, as I say, too woo-woo. It can be as simple as, you know, just quieting your mind for a couple minutes every day, or doing like a slow yoga practice could be huge, or even other things that are more external, like going to acupuncture. I mean, that was huge for me when I was going through a lot. Or talking to someone, totally, you know, absolutely. So even just talking to anybody about it. So those are some of my suggestions. Do you hear Billy whining?
Yeah, hear her whining.
She's unbelievable. She's been so needy this entire time. Like literally before we even started, like literally before you pressed record, she was sleeping in her bed, like not even looking over at me. Now the minute you press record and we started talking, she's literally right now sitting on top of our sofa, like a cat, staring at me and just whining like a big baby.
Nice.
She's unbelievable. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. So we're shifting the mindset. So you have to come in with the clarity that you're healing yourself, and not that you're fixing something and then you can just go back to what you were doing. Because again, this is how we got here in the first place. And unless you want to go through the cycle of messing your body up, healing it a little bit, and then messing it up again, which you'll probably mess it up more that time, right? You just need a mindset shift, basically.
It has to be an entire lifestyle shift. It's not even just the mindset. I mean, it's your entire lifestyle and the outlook that you have based on food going forward, and exercise as well. You need to get that support. And whether that's talking to someone about some of the deeper things that are going on with why you ended up here, maybe it's some of the more emotional stuff that's going on as well, I think are really important things to do, because a lot of times people have kind of like, there's kind of like a background story that can lead people into this kind of eating pattern. I think it's important.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So this is, we're going to call this part the spirit. This is what Christina calls the woo-woo shit.
Which I love the woo-woo shit. So
you do love the woo-woo shit. So
I totally love the woo-woo.
This is part of mindset, but it's also working on your relationship with your body and your self-image and with food, and knowing that, you know, you as your spirit, like, you are not your body, right? So you can still love your body while wanting to change certain things about it. But the problem here is when you hate your body, right? Every time you look in the mirror, you find something wrong with it. Or another thing can be like, I mean, this can be influenced by not only the things that you say about yourself, but the things that you say about other people, whether they're in the media or, I mean, I doubt you ever would say something negative about a friend, but, you know, it can be a family member you haven't seen in a long time. Maybe you go to a high school reunion, you're like, whoa, you know, that girl gained weight. Like, immediately when you do that, you're making a subconscious connection to yourself, and you're wondering, oh, I wonder how I look in comparison to that person. Or, you know, when we talk about social media and you're seeing all of these girls that have 8-pack abs and like a huge butt, but like the smallest waist you've ever seen, like, and you're automatically comparing yourself to that person. So you need to cut those things out of your life. Like, anything that is triggering, that can trigger these under eating, these over exercising, these negative self-talk behaviors, like, that all needs to go.
And the thinking less than, that, you know, this less than thinking too. I think also, because energetically, you know, you get out what you put out there. And I say this often, you know, that like attracts like. So if you are following people that make you feel bad about yourself, then you're going to continue feeling bad about yourself. But if you unfollow people, and if you're following people who make you feel good about yourself and who are positive body image and have And even if they're not negative body image people, but they trigger something in you, you got to take a step back from that. You have to look at that. But I think also, again, it just kind of goes back to the like attracts like, and energetically what you're putting out there, you're going to bring back into yourself. So you have to think about that, like your thoughts and your patterns and the way that you interpret yourself and the way that you interpret your body and the way that you feel about yourself comes down to an energy and how you think, feel, talk, speak. All of those things all kind of play into that energy around yourself and around your body. And our body is full of a lot of different energy. And the more positive energy you put into it, the more positive energy you're going to get out of it.
Right. And then we've said this a couple of times, but probably the most impactful thing that you can do for your healing journey is to talk to someone about it. And I'm not just talking about, you know, talk to a friend about it, which that's a really good first step, like a friend or family member or someone, but you need to talk to someone who is a professional in this field that actually can, you know, listen to you impartially, like no judgment going on, and then give you actionable steps that you can do. Because 99% of the time, you can't do this alone, or you shouldn't do it alone, because you're making it so much harder on yourself. And it's so much harder to be objective about this stuff because, again, it's about you and it's a super, super sensitive topic.
And you're too in it.
Yeah.
You know, it takes other people kind of outside of you to kind of see, you know, you can't see the forest through the trees, you know, you can only see what you're seeing, and it's really hard to get the full picture, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where outside of just the mindset stuff, when it comes to the woo-woo shit, as you call me, as you say that I say, and I do, I say that all the time, is that it comes into too, like kind of quieting the mind so that you can start to tune in, right? You have to tune into the language of your body, and you're not going to really start to hear it until you get quiet enough to really start to listen. And it's talking to you and it's quietly telling you what you need. And deep down, you know, deep down, it's saying what it needs and it's telling you to listen, and then it's time to reflect, and then it's time to act. And it takes time to learn that language. But the more you work on connecting with your body instead of working against it, and the more in tune you become and able to understand its signals, the closer and closer you're going to get with it, and the closer relationship you're going to have with it. So that's when I talk about the spiritual relationship with your body, that's what I'm talking about. It's like really learning the language that it's speaking to you and quieting your mind enough to reflect on it.
Right. So
yeah.
After you've started to work on one or some or all of these things, let's talk about how you know if healing is actually happening. Instead of looking at the scale or your body fat or even just thinking about, you know, your exercise recovery or like the gains or anything like that, right? You want to, like we've been saying, you want to listen to your body. Like, how do you really feel? Do you have more energy? Do you not need as much caffeine? Are you not totally flattened after doing one workout? If you're feeling really good while you've taken away exercise and you're increasing your food, it means your metabolism is speeding up again, which means you're getting out of the adaptation process. Your hormones are going to start to heal. You might start to see a regular or a more present menstrual cycle again. Like, all of these things are going to start to get better.
Yeah. You know, those are all perfect. I think those are all the things that you would pay attention to too. And I think also going back to kind of the mindset stuff also, is that you're going to start to see maybe a shift in your relationship with your body as well, and the relationship that you have with food. You're going to start to see food as kind of like this healing opportunity and a thriving opportunity rather than a means to restrict and kind
beat
of build
your body
that
into submission. Like I couldn't say.
Exactly. Beat your body into submission. Exactly. And I think that's another really great one. And that one does take a longer period of time. That does take longer to see that. I think one of the first things you probably will see is a little bit more energy.
Yeah, definitely.
And right? Then, especially if you're getting enough quality sleep.
Exactly. And one way that you can do about that is to work on your sleep hygiene. So that is a very big topic that I'm sure we'll do a whole nother podcast on.
Yeah, seriously.
I know we're going to get the question, how long does it take? And again, I'm going to bring it back to this mindset shift, because we're not just healing so that you can go back to exactly what you were doing before, because that's how we got here in the first place. And this healing journey is going to be long. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's not going to take a week. It's not going to take 30 days. It's probably going to take even longer than a couple of months, because it's not just that you're changing your food. It's not just that you're changing your exercise. You're changing physical things, emotional things, mindset things. You're trying to change your relationship with your body, with food, things that can take more than 6 months, a year, maybe even more. And again, you shouldn't do it on your own. If you do it on your own, it's going to take you a whole hell of a lot longer than it would than if you're working with someone.
Because, absolutely.
I mean, honestly, a huge part of that is like, when you do something on your own, you're going to start to doubt the process, right? But if you have someone that you're working with, you can check in with them and they can have an objective measure of whether this healing journey is actually working for you or not. And then you'll be much less likely to default to the old habits that got you here in the first place.
Absolutely. Join a community, hire a coach, get support. Any of the above things would be great. Talking to even a therapist who specializes in some of this stuff, negative body image issues and stuff like that would be wonderful places to start as well, and start getting that kind of support that you need around this. And I think it is, I love that you said that there's aspects of it that can take 6 months or even a year. And I think that's really important to note, that I always tell my clients that it took a while for the body to get here, and it's going to take a long time to get the body back out too. These things don't happen overnight. So the quote unquote like healing that's going to happen isn't also going to happen overnight. That's going to take time as well. And the more that you can give your body the time and the space to get there, the more it's going to bring back the dividends in the healing and feeling really great. And just be patient with yourself, be patient with your body, be patient with your mindset, and just keep working through it and get the support that you need. Those are my major things. Be patient.
I think that is a really good place to end on. So, I mean, we've said so much. I'm sure we probably seriously overwhelmed people with the amount of information that we just gave them. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast again, and I'm sure that you will be back on soon.
Yay! Thank you so much. I had so much fun talking to you, and my dog is now finally quiet. So there we go. There's that.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it! All right, guys. Even more knowledge bombs in that episode, I know. So if you love these episodes, please consider going over to iTunes and leaving a 5-star rating and review and sharing it with a friend, because you guys are the best. And make sure to go check out Christina over at nourishmbml.com or on Instagram or Facebook at the same thing, because she's the best, just like you guys. And you can find me anywhere at realfoodwithdana.com, on Instagram, on Facebook, all the places. And if you guys have any questions about these past two episodes, email them to me, DM them to me, just get in contact with me in some way, because I'm going to be doing a listener questions episode soon, and I'll be able to answer all of your questions then. So talk to you soon.